Hello and welcome to Droidcon Cast episode 26. I'm your host Nicholas, and this is the last episode of Droidcon Cast for 2019. It's the last episode of the year. After this, I will take probably the next 2 weeks or so off from doing this podcast, just because my schedule won't line up. I won't be able to record it. And there probably isn't going to be much news or discussions to be had between now and the new year. So this will be the last episode of 2019. And then after that, probably the first or second week of January of 2020, I'll be back. The cast will return. But for now, it is the last episode of the year. And I figured what better way to wrap up 2019 than doing a year review, a Nintendo Switch 2019 year in review. It's been a great year for Switch. Lots of very important and impressive sales figures, a ton of games released throughout the year, tons of fantastic directs were held, and all in all, it was just a solid year for Switch. I went ahead and threw together a month-by-month list of the year and included some of the more major or notable game releases for each month, as well as any important information or directs. And just looking at the year, there were some slow months, especially, you know, in the beginning of the year. The first maybe 3 months or so, 4 months were pretty slow. But after summer, the Switch really picked up speed and I think conquered 2019 as a whole. And it was a pretty impressive year overall. A lot better than 2018, I think. So with that said, I'm going to go month by month starting January. And we're just going to go through the year, talk about some of the more major releases that month, and just kind of see how each month did. We'll talk about some of the directs that were held this year. We'll talk about E3 a little bit, and just stuff like that. Of course, I didn't mention every game released throughout the year. There were quite a lot, especially smaller indie games. There were quite a lot, but I just kind of went through and mentioned some of the more notable titles, some of the ones that really stand out. So with that said, welcome to the Nintendo Switch 2019 Year in Review. Let's start with January, kicking off the year. We went into 2019 right off the heels of Smash Bros. And Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. Very strong first-party support at the tail end of 2018 going into 2019. And obviously Smash Bros. Is a game that a lot of people are still playing. There's a lot of great content coming to it. Characters, they're still updating the spirit board, which is really cool. And it's one of those games that, honestly, as the Switch kind of continues to grow up, Smash can grow with it. It's one of those games where a ton of content can drop in Smash and keep the game alive, keep players coming back. And I think that whole kind of the thing we've seen as of late with a lot of games is just updating new content for free or adding in DLC. And that works really well for Smash Bros., I think. Moving on throughout January, it was a pretty slow month for new releases. But we did get a new Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe. So this was a port from the Wii U of the new Super Mario Bros. U game. And this one always stood out as just weird to me. And it's no wonder it's a January game. January was kind of a slow. I think earlier this year, actually, there were quite a lot of other games that came out. I think this year, maybe I'm thinking last year, but there were a lot of games that I thought released earlier this year. And then you kind of looked at Switch and it was like, you had New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe. And that was kind of it. There was, I believe, Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes was also in January. That whole franchise, that whole game series is so weird to me, but a lot of people seem to enjoy it. Celeste, of course, got a lot of attention as a little indie platformer game. I enjoyed that one quite a bit as well. Tales of Vesperia also dropped And those were kind of some of the more notable titles for January. It was a pretty slow month. It was a very slow month, as the beginning of the year usually is for any sort of media, you know, gaming, movies, stuff like that. But moving into February, things started to pick up quite a bit. So we actually had our first Direct of 2019 in February. And this Direct showcased, actually announced Super Mario Maker 2, Link's Awakening, getting a kind of a remake, a reimagining for Switch. The Astro Chain release got announced as well. I think that was previously announced last E3, if I'm not mistaken. So we finally got an announcement for its release. Tetris 99 was announced and dropped for Nintendo Switch Online members. Fire Emblem was set for a July release, originally from a Spring 2019 release. And Box Boy got announced for Switch. And so those were some of the more notable announcements for the Direct. And honestly, just looking at this list, this looked like a pretty decent Direct. I'm sure there were a couple other announcements or news that I forgot to mention, or that, you know, obviously I'm not going to go through the entire Direct, but just looking at that brief little, like, bullet point I made of the news, I mean, Link's Awakening, Super Mario Maker 2, Astro Chain, Fire Emblem getting announced, just, like, a bunch of cool stuff was talked about. It actually looks like that was a pretty decent Direct to start off the year. Pretty impressive. That Direct, actually, I don't remember it being that bad. And most of the Directs this year, going through them, most of them are really, really good, with a lot of information, just packed with the new games. So I really did dig most of the Nintendo Directs this year. I think Nintendo did probably the best in a while when it comes to Directs. And I love how it looks like this year they really, like, structured them out, or not structured them out, but sprinkled them out throughout the year. It wasn't too much of a common thing. And I kind of like that. I don't know why so many people expect one every month or every couple of weeks. I like when Nintendo takes their time and they can really showcase a ton of games instead of just doing one every month and not having so much to show. I like sprinkling them out throughout the year and doing them 4, 5, 6 times a year and packing them with information. I think this year Nintendo really killed it. But after that Nintendo Direct, we actually had a Pokemon Direct announcing Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield. And I remember when these games were announced, I remember it was crazy. It was actually crazy. This was obviously the very first time that we've seen Pokemon Sword and Shield. And I was rewatching the gameplay, and I just remember thinking how good the game looked. And I still think the game looks so good. It looks so, like, I love the art style. I love the world. I love the Galar region. It's so beautiful. Everything about it is so unique. This game, I think, really, as far as, like, the starters go, as far as the actual region goes, I think has really great personality. And I think the Direct, it was a 7-minute Direct, but it showed off the Galar region, starters, and I think that was kind of it. I think they showcased some, you know, obviously some gameplay, kind of showed off the Galar region, what inspired it, stuff like that. But it was a pretty small Direct in terms of length and content shown, but I think overall, when it comes to Pokemon this year, I think Nintendo and Game Freak did a really good job of not showing too much. There was still a bit of information we got throughout the year, obviously during E3. And I believe there's also a Pokemon Direct right before E3. So there were still Directs and information shared. I think they did much better this year compared to other years in terms of just the amount of content that they showed, because I still went into these games blind, and I still found so much new stuff, like new Pokemon, new areas of Galar, new features, stuff like that. And yeah, it was. I thought they did really good this year. So that, but the initial direct is how I like my Pokemon games announced. I want just the idea that it's coming is enough for me to get excited. I want to see the starters, the region, maybe show off a couple new Pokemon, but that's it. Pokemon directs never, especially when they're initially announcing the game, never need to show too much information. So I think that direct was stellar. For some notable game releases, we got Wargroove, Apeout, which were some pretty nice indie titles released this year. And then, of course, Jaws Rising made its way to Switch and other platforms as well. But February was, again, pretty slow as far as games. It was very, very slow. The directs definitely made up for it and showed a lot of promise for 2019. But other than that, it was a pretty slow month. And so was March. March, we did see some pretty cool games. Sega actually announced Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020. And I believe that was set for a winter release by them. Other than that, games that came out that month, Yoshi's Crafted World, Baba Is You, Final Fantasy VII. Those are some notable games. Again, pretty slow. It was not so much there. And I actually haven't even played Yoshi's Crafted World. I don't know. It's I played the demo. And I don't know what else I was playing. I don't know what I was playing in March. That I think I was probably still playing Pokemon Let's Go, to be honest with you. Pokemon games, once they come out, that's like a, I think I played Let's Go throughout most of the year. At least up until like summer. I stopped probably before then. Probably around spring, to be honest with you. The Let's Go games I did stop playing pretty early, just because there was only so much to do. Like, it's Kanto, there's only 151 Pokemon. The shiny hunting methods were pretty limited. Breeding wasn't in the game. The battling scene was whack. Little to no, like, competitive scene. Wonder Trade was not there. Like, there's only so much to do. And that's probably since, like, Black and White, Let's Go is probably the Pokemon game I've put the least amount of hours into. I think my end total was like 120 hours, and I already surpassed that long ago with my copy of Sword. Like, I think Sword, I'll probably end up maxing out the playtime again to 999 because I've just been playing it so much, and there's a lot more to do. There wasn't a lot to do. I just kind of dropped the game around spring, I think, because it just kind of got boring. But with Pokemon Sword and Shield, having those fully fledged Pokemon games, yeah, those are going to be a year-round game that I play. But moving on into April, some pretty big games actually landed on our favorite hybrid system during April. Mortal Kombat 11, Cuphead, and Darksider War Mastered Edition. And I actually did play Mortal Kombat 11 on Switch. I did a nice little impressions whenever that came out in April. And I liked it. It's definitely not the best way to play the game, but it is an ideal way to play if you want to play portably. However, there were issues playing the game portably because you needed to be connected to the internet in order to access certain information or modes. I think even if you just wanted to play story mode, I think the game needed to connect to internet so that when you played through story, you would get your rewards or whatever. That made it impossible to play in handheld mode portably if you were not connected to the internet. So if you were in a car ride or you were somewhere without internet, you're kind of out of luck. I don't know if that's fixed. I don't know if that's still a thing. I haven't played this game in a while, to be honest with you, and that I remember kind of sucking because there were times where I wanted to play it portably, but the fact that you needed an internet connection really, really sucked. It really, really sucked. But other than that, the graphics obviously were not up to par with other systems, but they were still good compared to, you know, what they could have looked like. You know, for a Mortal Kombat game, it performs really well on Switch. It looks really good. It runs at 60 frames. And it's a nice-looking game. And it's funny, I downloaded and played the Mortal Kombat app on iOS on my iPhone, and the game looks really, really good on my iPhone. Like it looks stellar. And I do kind of wish that moving forward, games would be up to a more, I wish games would look better on Switch. I'm not gonna lie, I you know, like playing the game on my iPhone, which is significantly smaller than my Switch, also significantly more expensive, but still, being able to like play some of these games on the go is really, really cool. But mobile games, and I think I talked about this not too long ago as well on the show, like mobile games are also just getting really, really good in terms of performance, in terms of graphics, in terms of content. You know, I don't know if they're anywhere near the quality overall, you know, compared to console games, but they are getting there, it feels like, you know. And yeah, I do wish games would perform better on Switch, because it is kind of like I think I've mentioned this as well, like playing Call of Duty on my iPhone, playing Mortal Kombat on my iPhone, playing some of these bigger AAA games that have been brought down to a smaller size on my iPhone look fantastic. And obviously there's a huge difference in the processor in my iPhone, the screen, all of that stuff, the RAM compared to Switch. And like I said, it costs significantly more, but the Switch is a dedicated gaming console. It's a much larger piece of hardware. Nintendo has the money and flexibility, I'm sure, to improve upon the Switch in the next year or two. And I hope that whatever we see for the Switch Pro, there is a big focus on performance, especially in handheld mode. And, you know, obviously, I think playing on a Switch is far more comfortable than an iPhone. Touch, you know, playing touchscreen controls and humped over a smaller screen, yeah, it does not compare to, obviously, a big tablet with detachable controllers, you know, popping up the kickstand even. Like, that's a much, you're using actual controllers on a much bigger screen. That's a far better way to play any sort of game. But I do wish, graphics-wise, performance-wise, yeah, I do hope that we see some sort of revision in the next year or two. Not that games look terrible. Like, I was just playing The Witcher again. And, yeah, it's kind of rough around the edges, but it still looks good. And it's still impressive to see what these companies can fit onto a small cartridge and get to run on a big, you know, on a piece of hardware like the Switch. It is impressive, and hopefully, you know, obviously Nintendo needs to have some sort of answer for, not necessarily an answer for PS5 or well, now we know it's the Xbox Series X. I've been calling it Scarlet this whole time. It's now Xbox Series X that got announced at the Game Awards. But yeah, it's not necessarily a way for Nintendo to compete with these other consoles, but it's a way to continue to get third-party support, right? As PlayStation and Xbox get more powerful and increase performance and increase frame rate and resolution, Nintendo needs to kind of play along, because third parties are going to develop for these beefier consoles. Nintendo does not want to get left out. I think Nintendo has all of the momentum in the world right now. Next year, Nintendo can kind of take their time. Obviously, PS4 and Xbox One sales are going to kind of drop a little bit with new consoles on the horizon. Switch can succeed. Switch can shoot to the top. But by 2021, I definitely think that Nintendo needs to have some sort of answer for third parties and make a piece of hardware that's a little more flexible, versatile, and powerful, to be frank, that can keep up with third-party support. Because Nintendo has been killing it. The Switch has been killing it with third-party support, right? And now more than ever, I think. The Switch is impressive. And Nintendo doesn't want to lose that momentum. They don't want to lose that edge. So I think it's very important that, you know, we end up seeing something that can allow third parties to bring their more powerful games to the Switch. But still, as it stands right now, yeah, there are some corners that we see these developers cut. But at the same time, it is still impressive. You know, I was watching, there's a Nintendo ad uploaded the other day. And it featured Overwatch. That's insane to me. That's awesome. That's really cool. I think it featured Overwatch and The Witcher. That's crazy. Like, that's really cool. That little hybrid, a little handheld, can feature these big games like that. You know, and Nintendo does not want to lose that. They don't want to lose that magic of a huge versatile library like the Switch has right now. So, as it stands right now, I don't think the games run or look terrible, especially like the fact that you're playing them on, you know, portably. They look great for what they are, but hopefully in the future Nintendo, I hope, focuses more so on the power and the performance and you know, just keeping up with some of these third parties so that we can continue to get Overwatch and The Witcher and Mortal Kombat and the Resident Evil games and whatever the case may be. You know, we want to make sure that we're still getting these third parties because that is a big part of the success of the Switch right now. So, Mortal Kombat was an impressive one. I picked it up on Switch because I wanted to play it on Switch. But I also did want to show my support to these game developers bringing their game to Switch, and I had a great time with it. I did actually end up picking up Mortal Kombat 11 on Steam during their, I think it's the Black Friday sale. I did pick it up for half off. Hopefully I can get some more. I need another hard drive. I'm running out of space. These PC games are no joke. These PC games are ridiculous. I know I'm getting off topic, but either way, moving on. I'm getting so distracted by stuff. Cuphead came to Switch this April as well. I picked it up. I loved it on PC. I wanted to play through it on Switch. Such a fun game. It's very difficult. It's very hard. But once you get into like the habit or the pattern of each boss, it just becomes fun. So I picked it up. That was an easy choice to pick up on Switch. And then Darksider I haven't played, but I kind of want to. I hear a lot of good things about the Darksiders series. Maybe I'll pick that up. I think it went on sale recently, but I'll hold out. I'll see. I'll look into it. Either way, moving forward, May was a pretty interesting year. We had a Super Mario Maker 2 Direct right before its launch in June, which was pretty interesting. I kind of liked how they did this. It was obviously still a focus of their E3 Direct, but getting a lot of that information like right before E3 left a lot of room in the Direct for new games and to just shine on other announced games. And I thought that was a really cool way to you know, get information out there and not blow E3 with it, especially since Super Mario Maker 2 was released late June. It was released like very shortly after E3. E3 should have been focused more so on newer games and you know, looking to the future. So I really liked how they did that. A month before, you know, E3, they just dropped some Super Mario Maker 2 stuff. So we had that Direct. We also did get some pretty interesting games released for Switch, albeit older games, but some interesting ones. Saints Row the Third dropped on Switch. Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered dropped on Switch. And we also got Resident Evil, Resident Evil 0, and Resident Evil 4. And I still am upset that these games are more expensive on Switch than other platforms. Even when they go on sale on Switch, they go on sale for like the regular price on PC or PS4 or Xbox. It is still pretty ridiculous. It is still pretty dumb. But it is what it is, I suppose. I'm not too big into the Resident Evil games. I did pick up Resident Evil 2 on PC during that sale as well. I don't know why I do this to myself. It's not that I hate games like this. It's just, I would much rather play through a game like Layers of Fear or Outlast. You know, a game where you don't have to worry about survival or ammo or picking up items or item management. Like, I just get so tense during games like that. I just get like this adrenaline rush. I just get scared. But yeah, I picked up Resident Evil 2 because why not? I'll give it a shot. But I still haven't picked up the Resident Evil games on Switch, just because they are more overpriced compared to, you know, other systems. And this is something I don't know if other games from Capcom have... Well, I know other games from Capcom have released on Switch just more. Just kind of a weird amount. But it is what it is. But other than that, May was kind of the start of... It was kind of the start of Nintendo Switch dominating the year, right? It was older games, but there were games. And May led us into June. And June kind of lit this flame that Nintendo had for the rest of the year. And after this part, I think it's safe to say Switch owned the summer on. Like, they owned the last 6 months of the year. There were so many great announcements and games and directs. It was good being a Nintendo fan. Like, I know I say this all the time, but being a Wii U owner years ago, like, I never felt like I had this, right? Like, you never felt like the first couple months of this year were slow, but that was like the Wii U, like, you would be lucky. You would be lucky if, like, you got like a couple like announcements and releases. Like, it was, the droughts were much longer and fierce on Wii U than the Switch. And like I said, I know I say that all the time, but it's crazy a shift in direction. Like, with advertisement and the directs and game releases and schedules and just the overall like vibe, the overall feel. It was not like this with the Wii U. But either way, looking at June, June was pretty packed. Of course, we kicked off June with a Pokemon Sword and Shield Direct. And again, much like the Super Mario Maker 2 Direct, I liked how there was a focus of Pokemon during this Direct. That way they could save some space from E3 to really just flesh out newer games, focus on upcoming 2019 or 2020 games. And I like this. Obviously, Pokemon was still featured in E3. Pokemon is a huge game. They're not going to leave it out of their E3 Direct. But still, having a nice little Direct prior to E3, I really dig. And I really like. I thought that was pretty cool. But E3 2019, great Direct. Great Direct overall. Great Direct overall. Animal Crossing was delayed, which was extremely upsetting. It was actually delayed for a May. I think they dropped the. I think they did announce that it was March 20th, 2020. I almost said May, but I think they did then and there announce that it was a March game. Pretty upsetting, considering it was supposed to be a 2019 game. In all honesty, now that I look at it, now like the end of the year is here, I can't be upset that they delayed it. There were so many other games this year that I got to play, and I really like Animal Crossing is one of those games where even next year, I think even next year, like, it's releasing at a time where there's so many other games. Animal Crossing is one of those games where, like, once I buy it, that's it. Like, that's all I'll play for the next 3 or 4 months religiously, like, just waste my life away. And then after that, it just kind of stays in my rotation. And I'm fine with that. Like, we did get Pokemon later this year, Luigi's Mansion, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, you know, Fire Emblem. Like, a ton of other games were released this year that I'm glad next March, Animal Crossing will have more of a time to shine, right? Like, this year, I'm kind of fine with it. There were so many other games that I would have missed out on because of Animal Crossing. And looking at Nintendo's game announcements or releases, I should say, this year, I really don't know where they could even fit in Animal Crossing. I know, I think I gave, I don't know if it was during my E3, I don't know when, I was predicting, like, what games were going to come out this year, and I think I did fit, like, Animal Crossing either, like, in spring / summer or late fall, and yeah, it would have been nice for, like, an early March, February game where there was not, or even April where There really weren't a lot of games, right? Like, it would have fit perfectly up there. But even then, I'm glad that the development team has extra time to work on it. Nintendo has extra time to develop and market the game and advertise it and give it more of a chance to shine upon its release. Even though it releases with, like, Doom and Final Fantasy and, like, so many other games that I know I'm going to forget, but just so many other games next spring, especially March. Like, it just feels like it's releasing at such a packed time, but I'm not as upset now because there are more than enough games right now that I'm fine with it. But it was upsetting at the time, but it makes sense now in retrospect. There just was not room to fit this game in. Give us some more time to shine next year. I think that was a fine announcement. Of course, Breath of the Wild 2 was announced with next to no information other than just a snippet of I think it was like a little in-game cutscene type thing. The game looks really, really cool. It looks darker. It looks just weird compared to the first game. I am so excited for it, though. And yeah, that's it. No release date. I don't even think it gave us a year. It's not like it said Breath of the Wild 2 2020 or 2021 or anything like that. So I'm not sure when this game is. I don't know if it would. This is one of those games where, like, I know I've speculated the release for this game before. Maybe next winter? I don't know. Like, it's one of those games where whatever Nintendo does, because it's going to sell well, right? It's going to be a system seller. Nintendo needs to be kind of strategic with its release. Are they releasing new hardware alongside the game? Are they releasing it to kind of combat Sony or Microsoft sales? Are they releasing it during a slump where maybe there's not a lot of other games coming out, but Breath of the Wild 2 will be a standout? I'm not quite sure when we would even see this game get released. I'm excited either way, but I'm very intrigued to see when they release this game, because if it's anything like the first one, it's going to be a huge event, and I think it really matters when and how, the circumstance in which they drop this game. So I'm excited to see that and how soon or how late we get our hands on it. Also, during the E3 2019 Direct, Dragon Quest Hero, Banjo-Kazooie were announced for Smash. We got some Luigi's Mansion 3 gameplay. I really fell in love with that game during E3. I thought they did a fantastic job showing the game. Of course, got Pokemon gameplay. Deus Ex Machina gameplay was shown and the release date was announced. We got The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt announced for Switch, which was really, really cool. I saw the leaks that, the game was coming to Switch, but actually seeing the gameplay during the E3, and it was just cool. It was really cool seeing it. And then, of course, we got a lot of Dragon Quest XI S, Echoes of an Elusive Age. We got, like, a lot of gameplay on that. I still want to pick that game up. I'm not the biggest into, like, that franchise or that genre of games, but that game looks so good. It looks so good to me. I was hoping for a sale during Black Friday on the eShop. I know it's a newer game, but I was hoping for something. Maybe when the game goes on sale, because I do have quite a lot of other games to work on right now, but maybe when that game drops a little bit, or even like next, maybe early next year or next summer, depending on, the thing is too, like, if I wait to pick up a game, rarely do I ever, like, end up picking it up, because, unless it goes on sale, because, especially with the Switch right now, there's so much momentum and so many games released. Like, even during some of the slower months, I guess, like, January through March of this year were pretty slow. There were some notable games, but pretty slow compared to the last half of the year. Like, yeah, I guess then I could pick it up in a slower month, but there's always something every month, right? Like, there's always something, and I find it so hard to end up going back to games and picking up older games that I missed. That's why I try to buy as many games as I can when they come out. I know it sucks. I know I shouldn't, but I rarely ever get to go back to those games then. I rarely ever pick them up down the road because I'm playing the newer games released that month, right? So, I don't know. I was hoping for a sale this Black Friday. Maybe sometime next year, there'll be a slight discount. But either way, that was E3 2019. Of course, there were a ton of other announcements. Astro Chain, I think, had some gameplay. There was a ton of other stuff shown, but those were like the notable highlights. And all in all, I really liked this year's E3 as well. I think they did a fantastic job. It was really, really good. I think it kind of reminded me almost of how good 2017's was. It was just game after game after game after game with some small interruptions. I think I remember Dragon Quest just kind of feeling like filler. There was just so much Dragon Quest. Same thing with like Luigi's Mansion 3 just kind of felt stretched out a little bit. Even though the games looked great, they just kind of ruined that momentum of the Direct. But all in all, I thought the Direct this year for E3 was stellar and probably one of the better of E3 this year. Just because Nintendo does such a great job at just showing games. You know, I really do like Sony. I like their presentations. They feel immersive and really cool. But especially like last year's, there's like 5, 10, 15 minutes, I feel like, of them moving people from one auditorium to another. And when you're streaming E3, when you're at home, it ruins the momentum. It ruins the, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it feels weird. It breaks the immersion for the people watching at home. And, like, their announcements and their presentations are really cool. They always get, like, a nice orchestra to play. They do well, like, actually showing gameplay in depth. But especially, like, in 2018, I remember them showing, like, 3-4 games, maybe. And they stretched out the gameplay because there wasn't a lot to show, you know. And Nintendo, I think, always has, especially since 2017's E3, they just do game after game after game after game. And yeah, there's some of those slower periods where they just kind of stretch out gameplay or really focus in depth on one particular game. But all in all, I think they've been doing really great. And they've kind of been following that same scheme for even their normal directs, where they just announce a bunch of stuff and they waste little to no time, it feels like. So, all in all, really great E3 for Nintendo this year. I had a blast with it. It was really great. But moving on, June also saw some notable game releases. Crash Team Racing, Nitro Fueled, Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. And, of course, Super Mario Maker 2 was released late June. Such a fun game. Probably one of the better Switch games. I would say probably one of the ones I would definitely recommend, just because not only do you get Nintendo created levels, but you can make your own Super Mario Maker, or your own Super Mario Maker levels. You can make your own Super Mario levels and share them with others and play others' levels. I think it's the most bang for your buck as far as like a Mario game compared to, especially easily compared to New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe. Skip that. Go for Super Mario Maker 2. I think it's one of the best Mario games on Switch. Odyssey's really, really good as well. But I think overall, for most people, just the idea of playing, there's so much content in that game, right? Like, Super Mario Odyssey is, you play it for, what, 10, 12 hours, however long the game is. And that's kind of it. You can go back and collect moons, and there might be some additional side stuff you can do. Like, there were some of those Luigi games that Nintendo added. But it's kind of a set period of time, right? And you can only play it for so much. With Super Mario Maker 2, it's endless. There's so many levels. There's no way you'll ever get to beat or play them all. But there's so much content to be had there. So, such a good game. And one that I would easily recommend for anybody picking up a Switch. It's one of the best this year, I think. Then moving forward in July, we had quite a bit of stuff in July as well. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order was such a fun game. It was so cool. Probably one of my favorites throughout the year, to be honest. I want to get back into it, especially with the new DLC that's coming. I might give that a shot, get some new characters. That'd be kind of cool. Dragon Quest Builders 2. I was going to pick this game up, actually. I was gonna pick this game up, and I just never did. Some other games got on my radar. I never played the first one or the second one. I've heard good things about the second one. I kind of want to pick it up. I should have seen if it was on sale during the Black Friday sale that Nintendo did. It looked really cool. It looks like Minecraft mixed with Dragon Quest mixed with an actual story of some sort. And yeah, it looked really cool. I just skipped out on it because there were a lot of other games I was playing and some other stuff got my attention, obviously. But still, that game looked pretty fun and a lot of people seemed to enjoy it. Then, of course, one of the big ones, Fire Emblem Three Houses, my game of the year, my Switch game of the year. Such a good game. I really haven't cared for Fire Emblem at all. I liked Awakening, but then I really didn't like the Fates games or anything to come after that, to be honest with you. But I went into this game because I heard a lot of good things about it, and I just decided to get back into it. Before I played Fire Emblem, I took a small break from gaming in general, and this was one of those games that when I kind of got back into it, I just hopped into Fire Emblem, and it reignited my love for gaming, especially like Nintendo games and Switch, and I love it. It's such a good game. I haven't beat it yet. I'm still working through it, but such a good game. There's so much content there, and I like the approach to the Three Houses much better than releasing two versions of the same game. I don't know what they were thinking when they did that. I think they did Fire Emblem Fates Conquest, Fire Emblem Fates Birthright. That was kind of dumb. That was really dumb. Having just one package where you get to choose any of the three houses and you can play it more than once, you know, through different houses. And there's obviously a lot of different decisions you make in the houses that affect the outcome as well. That's such a more impressive and quality of life improvement. Like, that was kind of dumb. Double packaging, or I guess selling the same game twice, essentially, was kind of a dumb move. And Pokemon can do it. It's kind of gotten lazy releasing two versions of Pokemon. But Fire Emblem is just, it was really dumb. I did not like that. But yeah, I really enjoyed Three Houses. Definitely my game of the year. And probably my favorite Switch game of all time, just because it's so good. And obviously, I really like the strategy levels, like the actual battles. But even when you're on campus talking to students and collecting items and doing quests, there's so much to do there, like building relationships, building friendships, like so much to do. And there was so much love poured into this game, and there's so much love that I poured into this game while playing it. It's such a great game. I really enjoy it. There was DLC released for it recently, I believe. I've not looked into that. Maybe I will. I think you can, like, pet dogs now or something. But I think there's, like, content to it, too. But interesting. Great game. Wolfenstein Youngblood was also released across Switch and other platforms as well. I'm glad Bethesda is still supporting the Switch. I have not played this game. I don't know. I didn't like, what was it? The new Colossus. I didn't like the new Colossus as much as the New Order. I don't know what it was. It just wasn't as much fun as I had with the first one. So I've been kind of meh when it comes to the Wolfenstein games after that. Like, I didn't really care. I think they did, like, a VR thing. They did, obviously, Youngblood. I really just meh. I kind of lost interest, but I don't know. It is what it is. Then we got a pretty interesting announcement early July. And that was the announcement of the Nintendo Switch Lite, a new member of the Switch family. And this is one of those things where, like being a part of the Nintendo Switch subreddit and the Nintendo community online, like, so many people, even, like, since the Switch came out, have speculated a Switch Lite or a Switch Mini is what a lot of people used to call it, or a Switch Pro or Switch XL. Like, so many people speculate new hardware Right, and it's fun. It's cool to speculate. It's cool to look at rumors or leaks, and like, it's fun. It's a part of. I think it's a part. It's as much a part of like the gaming community as gaming is, right? Like speculating, getting hyped for new hardware. Like, it's a lot of fun, right? And seeing the Switch Lite was kind of cool because it is. It's a really. It's exactly what I'd imagine from like a handheld only Switch. It's significantly smaller, it's lighter. There's a lot of stuff removed, like the kickstand. Obviously, you can't detach the Joy-Con. No dock support. It's just a handheld, right? That kind of resembles the body of the Switch, and can play Switch games. And it really feels like one of those products that just does, it doesn't feel overthought, right? Like Nintendo didn't overthink this. I think it's exactly what it needs to be. And for a lot of people, that extra $100 that you save, the Switch Lite is obviously $200 compared to $300 for the Switch. That $100 that you save, that matters to a lot of people. And if they're only going to play handheld as it is, I think this was a really great idea. I think this was a fantastic announcement, and especially for games that released this year. Like Link's Awakening, Pokemon, Fire Emblem, games that have succeeded so well on handheld systems, I think it made total sense as to why this was something Nintendo wanted to drop now, especially with Animal Crossing coming, and it makes sense. And like, yeah, I think this was a perfect announcement. If you're playing strictly in handheld, if you only want to play single-player games, or you just want to play games by yourself, this kind of made sense, right? And I know it's one of those things where it's a Switch that can't switch, right? You can't dock it, but I think this system really focuses more so just on the branding than, obviously the action of it, right? I do think, and I've talked about this before, I've said this before, I do think a console from Nintendo with the Switch branding that you can only play docked does not make as much sense as a Switch that you can only play in handheld mode. I think there's a big difference there. Obviously, we have consoles like PlayStation and Xbox that succeed in the console market. There's a demographic for it for sure. But those are ruled by Sony and Microsoft. And Nintendo's tapped into a demographic, a market that hasn't really been touched yet, which is the handheld market. And it hasn't been touched by Sony or Microsoft. Nintendo owns the handheld market easily. Sony recently said that there's no interest in making another handheld. I can't ever see Microsoft making a handheld, especially as they focus on more powerful systems and cloud streaming. Like, Nintendo owns the handheld market right now. And a Switch Lite makes sense because there's no other option. If you want to play games on the go, you have to get a Switch or Switch Lite. I'm sure there's a lot of Nintendo players who would prefer to just play docked and who probably play games primarily docked and would buy a Switch that is only docked to play exclusives docked. I'm saying so much now, but you know, the point is, Nintendo releasing a Switch that is only docked is going up against PlayStation and Xbox. And unless they come out with exclusive, I mean, the exclusives are actually really, really, you know, they're good. Everybody loves Nintendo games, right? But still, I think Nintendo's reached a demographic with a Switch and Switch Lite that has not been tapped into before. And they kind of own that demographic right now. Releasing a handheld Switch makes sense. Because there's no other option for handheld gaming. Unless you want to play mobile games, but you're not getting as full of an experience as you are on a handheld compared to mobile. But yeah, I think it doesn't make sense. You know, Nintendo releasing a handheld only Switch as a system that does not compete against anything else. A console Switch that is only docked. You're competing against the behemoth that is PlayStation and Xbox. And I think there's room for improvement. I think there's room for growth. I think there's room for Nintendo to succeed in that market. But with the current Switch and Switch Lite, Nintendo has a kind of, I don't want to say a monopoly, but they kind of have a strong, you know, they have their foot in that market, right? Like, they are dominating the handheld gaming sphere and market because nobody else will. So I think the Switch Lite makes sense. I think a docked-only Switch goes, I don't know, it just kind of goes against the idea of the Switch. You know, it's not convenient, it's not versatile, it's not flexible, and you're competing against PlayStation and Xbox. And while I think there's room for Nintendo to definitely grow there, I think their efforts are best invested in Switch and Switch Lite and improving the hardware of the current Switch systems so that it can be both that console and that handheld that it already is, but improve performance, power, and all of that. So, yeah, I think the Switch Lite announcement was fantastic. I think it makes sense, especially now more than ever with the games that are coming to the Switch library. A lot of them stem from, you know, handheld systems like Game Boys or DSs. I think it makes sense. And, again, Nintendo kind of has, they kind of own that market right now. So I think the Switch Lite announcement was fantastic. I think it was great. And I think it makes sense, especially as a cheaper alternative, as an alternative for kids, or if you just want to play games by yourself and you don't want to play them on the TV. I think all in all, it's not meant to compete with your current Switch. It's meant to be an option. And options are always great. I think it was a fantastic announcement. Moving on. One thing we also saw kind of in July, but I think in August, September, we really started to see this on store shelves. But we saw the Switch revision. We saw the Switch get that revised model. And we kind of started to see this in store shelves in August, really. But I think July, like even like mid-July, I remember seeing the new box art, seeing the improved battery life, you know, kind of seeing this revision of sorts. I think July is kind of when it came to light and people started seeing it. I think August is really when it started to pop up in store shelves, though. But we did see the new, I guess, the standard Switch get a slight revision of the red box Switch, the Switch V2, whatever you want to call it, in the new red box. And this was pretty intriguing. This is not a Pro. This is not Slim. This is not Switch 2. It's weird because it's not even like the equivalent of PS4 to PS4 Slim, because there's no cosmetic changes to the Switch. There's no performance increase. There's no notable difference outside of the improved battery life thanks to the chip. But it's still kind of, I don't know, it's kind of interesting to see the improvement of battery life. So I think it's still worth holding out for an actual Switch update, or upgrade, I should say, with a performance upgrade, maybe storage upgrade, you know, better screen, better, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever Nintendo decides to do. This is obviously, I think it's worth waiting for most people. Obviously, if you're buying a Switch mid-2019, obviously go for the red box. Get that extra better life for the same price, right? But for most people, unless better life was this killer thing for you and you really needed to have more, I think it was worth waiting out for an actual, you know, Slim or Pro equivalent Nintendo Switch, right? So yeah, that was kind of an interesting thing. I know there's a lot of videos on it, like taking this thing apart and really discussing the internals and the differences between the systems. And yeah, I think it was really interesting. But again, I think for most people, it's worth waiting out for an actual upgrade that Nintendo seems confident in, right? Like this was not marketed at all as a revision or as a new Switch, but still, it was really interesting, and at least it's something, right? It's something that if you're holding out for a Switch mid-2019, here's something for waiting, I guess. If Nintendo has the option to increase the chipset, increase the battery life, they did. Here you go. Buy into this. I think it was kind of a clever thing to do. But moving forward, August, we saw some games drop on Switch. I think August was kind of a slower month. I don't really think there's anything too gigantic. Of course, we saw Astral Chain. That was, I guess that was pretty big. Still have not played Astral Chain, but it looked good. It looked really, like, different. But I think I was still playing Fire Emblem and Marvel Ultimate Alliance and Mario Maker, stuff like that. And this summer really, like, took a hit on my wallet, too, because there was just so many games. So many games dropping, but Astral Chain came out. Maybe I'll get to it next year, along with Dragon Quest, whenever whenever I get the time. We also saw Pillars of Eternity Complete Edition and Friday the 13th, the game, Ultimate Slasher Edition, which is pretty interesting of a game coming to Switch, but it made its way there. September was pretty cool, packed with games, packed with stuff for everybody, and we actually got a Nintendo Direct. Not that long after E3, we got a Nintendo Direct. And this Direct was really good. Again, like, Nintendo, I think, really did really well overall with the Directs this year. And most of them, I really liked, because it was just a ton of information. It was just games, right? It was just games, and it felt really cool seeing game after game after game and seeing some of the cool stuff that, you know, that Nintendo had in store. So we had that Nintendo Direct. Some of the bigger things, obviously Overwatch was really cool to see coming to Switch. I know there was that leak. Actually, I don't even think the game was leaked. I think someone found the Overwatch Nintendo Switch case on Amazon or something. And it was weird watching Overwatch announced in the Direct, because it felt like it was supposed to be this really big announcement, and it felt like it was just kind of thrown in there, you know? So, I don't know if that's the way it was meant to be announced, or if, like, it was supposed to be, like, this, oh yeah, one more thing type announcement. I don't know. It was kind of weird, but Overwatch was announced, which plays really well on Switch. Obviously, it's an alternative option. It's not my main way to play, but if I'm laying in bed and I want to get that fix of Overwatch, and I want to throw a movie up on the TV or something, it's not bad. It works. Luigi's Mansion got 3 new floors showcased. We also got Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition announced for a 2020 release. Super Kirby Clash was announced, which I believe is this free-to-play or free-to-start co-op game. I had the game downloaded, but I never played it. I have no idea what it's even about, to be honest. Trials of Mana got a remake. Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE got announced for 2020. I might pick that game up next year. It looks funky. I know it is on Wii U, another Wii U port, but it looks funky. It looks kind of intriguing, to be honest. Little Town Hero got, I can't remember if they, did they announce? No, this game was announced like a while back ago, I thought, but I think they gave us some more information regarding it, because didn't Little Town, I think that came out like in October, but either way, they showed off Little Town Hero. Banjo-Kazooie was released in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and Terry from Fatal Fury was announced to be coming in November. Very, very cool. SNES games were announced for Switch, for those who have Nintendo Switch Online, and SNES controllers were also announced for Nintendo Switch Online members for $29.99. I have no interest in picking up those controllers. I think it's funny that Nintendo does that. It's cool, but it's kind of funny. As far as games, I believe Daemon X Machina did come out in September. Link's Awakening obviously dropped. Dragon Quest XI: Echoes of an Elusive Age. Spyro Reignited Trilogy. Quite a ton of like good games right there. Very solid games. And the Switch Lite was released. Perfect. I think it actually did release alongside Link's Awakening, perfect release right there. Perfect. I think that system selling alongside a really, you know, a game, a Zelda game that came from Game Boy was a smart decision on Nintendo's end. I thought they did a fantastic job with that. September was packed. It was a really good month. A nice direct, ton of really nice games. Obviously, we saw new hardware from Nintendo. That's always cool to see. Overall, really packed year. Demon X Machina, I haven't played either. Again, it's one of those games where I'm just not sure if it's really for me. There was other games I was playing that I was planning on playing. I'm like, I feel like I can skip out on this because, I don't know. Maybe if it goes on sale, again, I know I'll probably be waiting a long time because it's a Nintendo game, but just still, a weird game. I'm not sure if that or Astral Chain are really for me, but it is what it is. October was a pretty stellar month for Switch. Actually, looking at the list of games, it was a really stellar month for Switch. We saw some ports, Resident Evil 5 and 6. Those got announced during the 2019 E3 Direct, and those released in October. Ghostbusters, the video game remastered, which also hit other platforms as well, I believe. Trine 4, Yooka-Laylee and the Impossible Lair. Little Town Hero, which I heard a lot of, a lot of nitpicky things about the game. A lot of people didn't really seem to enjoy it all that much. I did skip out on it. I think it goes for $29, so $30. Maybe it's worth checking out for some. I don't know. Ahead in Time got released on Switch after what feels like so long, but it's there. And I believe Rain Fit Adventure was October as well. Have not picked up Rain Fit Adventure. I kind of want to. I keep hearing about it, even after it's released. It seems like people really enjoy it, and it really is a workout of sorts. I think it normally goes for, $70, so it's kind of pricey, I guess. But you do get a game, and then you do get, obviously, the accessories to go with it, but still. And then, of course, the big one. Luigi's Mansion 3, such a good game. That's probably, it's up there with my top five games for not only Switch, but just this year. That was such a good game. Such a really, really good game. I loved it. It was just a fun game. And, yeah, it was probably my favorite. I don't know. I definitely think Fire Emblem and Pokemon are up there. I really did enjoy Marvel Ultimate Alliance. Luigi's Mansion 3 is definitely up there, though. It's a really fantastic game, and I'd recommend if you're picking up a Switch, pick up Luigi's Mansion 3 with it. It's a very fun single-player game that you can also play co-op. And it's all in all just a really solid game. Really solid. It's fantastic. And DLC just got announced for it as well, for Scarescraper. So, it's getting support moving into 2020, which is awesome. Moving forward, we're getting towards the end of the year here. November. Some notable releases. We saw Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, Tokyo 2020. Have not been a fan of these games. I played, I played one on, DS or Wii, maybe. I don't know if I played one on Wii U. Out of all the party games in Nintendo's arsenal, or sports games, I guess you could also say, this is I don't know, it's one of my least favorite. I really don't care too much about these games. It's weird that they're still making them too. I don't know. I wouldn't have expected this to drop this year, but for those that enjoyed the series, there you go, Mario and Sonic. Olympic Games. Not the biggest fan of them, but it is what it is. Doom 64 also dropped. Just Dance 2020. And of course, Pokemon Sword and Shield. And I don't really need to go any more into these games. I know I talked about it earlier in this episode, as well as I did a whole episode a whole episode on these games a couple weeks back. I love the games though. They're fun. I'm still playing them, and they're fantastic. I'm gonna stop talking before I get into just rambling on about the games. They're a lot of fun. They're really great. I'd highly recommend them. Moving forward, that was pretty much it for November. Kind of a slow month, but some heavy hitters. And obviously, it's the tail end of the year now, so we're not seeing as much, you know, as many games or anything like that. So that's that. December, very, 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 very slow as well. We saw Assassin's Creed, the Rebel Collection, Alien Isolation also released this month, which is pretty cool. I heard it actually is running really, really well, and it looks really good. It's performing very great. That's awesome to hear. Call of Juarez, Gunslinger. I've never heard of this game before, but I have been hearing quite a bit of good things about it. It's only like $20 on the eShop. I might pick it up. It looks kind of interesting. It's a first-person shooter, but it looks like a Western, kind of like a Red Dead Redemption type game. It looks really cool. And then Rune Factory 4 Special. And that is it. I'm trying to think of anything else that I didn't put on my list. Obviously, there were some other things like Joy-Con, new Joy-Con color after so long. A ton of other games I'm sure I'm missing. Going through the year, I looked back and looked at all the games and hardware and just directs and so much of that stuff. Like, Nintendo really, I think, did a fantastic job this year. There was a lot of, it started off slow, sure thing, but second, I guess mostly third-party support kind of kept it alive, right? There were a lot of indies and AAA games that made on Switch, which was awesome. But after that initial slump, once June hit, I guess the first half of the year was kind of meh, but once June hit, it just felt like Nintendo knocked it out of the park, really, with new hardware, tons of games, just solid directs overall. I think this year was probably one of the best years for directs, if I'm being honest. I think all of the directs this year were phenomenal. And overall, it was just solid. It was just a solid year for Switch. It definitely was a lot better than last year. Like, last year was kind of meh. Last year was definitely meh. It just felt very lackluster. We got some big games throughout the year, but they were sprinkled. It kind of felt like a slightly better year for the Wii U. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of felt like that. This year is just full force. Even in the first half of the year, where it was slow, it was still pretty good with indies and first party and AAA third party, stuff like that. It still felt phenomenal. It felt really good. So, yeah, it's interesting to look back at the year and take it all in, but I think Nintendo, all in all, did a fantastic job this year, and I'm excited for 2020. Even though I think Nintendo can slow down a bit, obviously, as they don't need to compete too much with Microsoft or Sony, even though especially PS4 still has some hard hitters next year. They still have some really interesting games dropping next year, but for the most part, yeah, they can kind of take it slow and kind of take it easy, but we do know of games like Bravely Default obviously coming out. Bravely Default 2 was announced. Of course, Animal Crossing, Doom Eternal is coming to Switch. Xenoblade is coming to Switch. The Tokyo Mirage Sessions is coming to Switch. Just a bunch of stuff like that. So yeah, all in all, just a ton of great games, fantastic directs. The support this year was fantastic. I know this episode's running on a little bit, but if there was anything, I wish Nintendo Switch Online did get some sort of improvement. I know we saw Nintendo drop SNES games, but still, I wish we got cloud saves available for every game. I wish we got some sort of discounts or free games or incentives besides just the old games that we've already played. I wish that, I don't know, I wish Nintendo did something similar to PlayStation or Xbox. And I know it's not 60 a year like they are, but still. That's the only complaint I had. I think all in all, Nintendo, they did fantastic this year. It felt like a full year. Last year was kind of slow, and there were some games here and there, and Pokemon and Smash at the tail end did well, but I think this year was fantastic. As far as a rating, if I had to rate it, like, out of 10, I would, honestly, I mean, I would have to say probably a 9.5, maybe close to a 10 out of 10. I mean, there isn't much else that you can ask. Tons and tons of great first-party exclusive titles, indies galore, third-party support, fantastic exclusives. We saw games like Dragon Quest really shine on Switch. Games like Fire Emblem are phenomenal. We saw new crazy IPs like Demon X Machina and Astral Chain. Nintendo's willing to experiment, right? The Nintendo Directs killed it. A lot of Smash Bros. Characters were released throughout the year. It felt like a really good year. I mean, there's not much else that... We got new hardware, right? We got the Switch Revision. We got Switch Lite. I would say it was a 10 out of 10. I would say it was 10 out of 10. Like, most of my time this year, as far as gaming, was dedicated to Switch compared to other systems. And I think this year was a 10 out of 10. I really do. I think this year, they nailed it. There's very little that I think Nintendo could have done differently or changed to, you know, to make it even better. Like, there was little that Nintendo could have done. I think they did fantastic. So, yeah, that's overall my thoughts. I think this year was flawless, or as close to flawless as you can be. It was great, and I'm excited for the future. Next year looks interesting, so we shall wait and see how that turns out. But all in all, I'm excited for the future. The Switch killed it this year. They hit over 41 million sales, so they're close to the, like, SNES sales. I think it recently was announced that they surpassed Xbox One sales. They've been knocking it out of the park through and through. So this year was probably one of the best. It felt like 2017 all over again. Just game after game after game. Just, it felt really good to own a Switch this year. Nintendo killed it. So either way, that's pretty much it. That's 2019 as a whole. I thought it was flawless. It was fantastic. It was really good. It felt good to be a Switch owner, and I'm excited for 2020. With that being said, like I said earlier, this is the last episode of the Joy-Con Cast for 2019. I will see you all in 2020. I wish you all a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, enjoy time with friends, family, eating food, opening gifts, playing Switch, doing whatever you do. I hope you have a great time, and I will see you next year. Goodbye.